I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Diabolical, pathological killers, as you said, and you know, there's no reason or rationale in dealing with people like that. Are so barbaric and so morally corrupt. You know, they have no moral compass whatsoever to guide them. But here's where we are. I mean, the Israelis knew that this day would come, certainly, because what made this attack so different than the Hamas attacks from the past is the focus on civilians. The civilians in the 22 communities that they attacked, there were a number of military bases, smaller ones in the area, but the focus was really on the civilians, and then the taking of large group of hostages, something they've never done before. So the Israelis knew what was the purpose of the hostages. At some point, to trade hostages to buy time.
That is exactly why they took hostages on October 7th. That is retired four-star general Jack King, an analyst now for Fox News, talking about what was different about October 7th more than anything before. And it wasn't just coming across slaughtering a lot. I mean, that obviously was horrendous. But taking the hostages, never done before. Not just go in and kill, but take hostages. As he said, that was to buy time. And they're getting it because of today. It was announced a pause in fighting will take place in exchange for hostages starting tomorrow, which will be in this country Thanksgiving Day for us. It will also be a Thanksgiving Day of a different type for those who get family members back that are being held hostage. Not all of them, but some. At this point, apparently there are going to be 50 released. They hold something like 200 plus that we know of. And we don't know how many of those are alive. They just found another woman outside Al-Shifa Hospital. And she had been in videotape before. They used her as propaganda, calling her, using her cell phone to call her home. And, of course, her mother answers saying, "Oh, my God, my daughter is okay." And they find out that she's being held hostage, and Hamas is having a great fun time tormenting that woman and her daughter at the same time. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, November 22nd, 2023. This is the second hour of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA. There is no other program on the air anywhere like this program. You listen once, you're going to be hooked, and you'll see why. Because a lot of what I do is not just tell you some things. I kind of do it a storytelling fashion because I want you engaged. I want you understanding and have a full understanding of what's really happening, not just the facts. Yes, it's different than when I was a news anchor. That was facts only, and yet trying to give you some explanation. But here I also have the opportunity to voice my opinion, and I do. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are also streaming video. You can watch the video, kind of like watching me back on TV, but again, it's going to be a different concept entirely, at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, or on Rumble. And there are other platforms out there, too, I understand we're on. I can't keep up with all of them. I try to respond to the emails that come in to the various Twitters and the podcast and so forth, or even the live, the best I can, but I have to admit I get behind. Please forgive me. I do want each of you to know how much I appreciate your support. And I also encourage you, please continue to support our sponsors. When you have a product that they offer, please use them. And if nothing else, give them a call occasionally and say, "Thanks for supporting Larry Connors USA." That would mean a lot to me, it means a lot to them, and it would mean a lot to you because you guarantee the program is staying on the air for you. All right, I want to switch now to an NBC report as they release the initial details of the new ceasefire hostage exchange.
A pause in the fighting for Thanksgiving morning. Hamas saying just in the past few hours that the pause will begin at 10 a.m. tomorrow. The Israeli government keeping the Biden administration waiting for 9 hours of talks before finally making the announcement. President Biden welcoming the statement saying the First Lady Jill and I have been keeping all those held hostage and their loved ones close to our hearts. Coming home, around 50 of the women and children taken in the October 7th terror attacks. Three Americans are expected to be released in the first group, a senior administration official says, including 3-year-old Abigail Moradan, her family hoping she'll be home for her birthday on Friday.
She's turning 4, and to like just imagine that she comes home and is with her family.
How great that is. I just pray that child is not so traumatized and was not subjected to some of the things Hamas was doing to others, and she's in relatively good health. Thank God. Thank God for all of you who are saying prayers for all these hostages. Now, again, how did this end up happening? Well, again, back to the NBC report.
President Biden thanking mediators in Qatar and Egypt and Israel's prime minister, who pushed through the deal in a tense government meeting where he insisted a brief truce would not end the war. And just yesterday, fierce fighting, 250 airstrikes, Israel says, ahead of the initial 4-day humanitarian pause starting tomorrow. In exchange for 50 hostages, 150 Palestinian prisoners, including some women and teenagers, will be released by Israel. The Red Cross will be given access to the hostages still held, while humanitarian aid will get to the people of Gaza, 300 to 400 trucks a day and fuel. The biggest diplomatic breakthrough since 1,200 were murdered on October 7th, and according to the Hamas-run health ministry, more than 14,000 killed in Gaza.
14,000 killed in Gaza, according to the Hamas terrorist organization. I have no reason to doubt that. I don't know if it's inflated or not, but we do know that they've hidden their rockets, their missiles, their command centers in the midst of the civilian population. Why would they do that, Larry? Because they wanted their own people to die when Israel would come after them. They didn't care. They were using their own people as shields. It's circulating around. Perhaps you've seen it. I saw it. Vic actually sent it around from on his one of his tweets. Vic, of course, with his program in the morning, Vic and Ken. If you haven't caught that program, I strongly encourage it. It's a very fun and yet also informative program. But it's a, he said, this picture is clearly worth the 1,000 words or something to that effect. What you see is Hamas gunman hiding behind a baby stroller, behind the baby stroller, shooting at an Israeli who is standing in front of another baby stroller. Yeah, that is a very clear picture of what happens. Now, again, once this ceasefire came about, now, Netanyahu said it was a difficult decision, but it's the correct decision. He said they made it clear that not only will the war effort not be harmed, he said his intelligence has told him it won't really harm us. It will allow the IDF to prepare for continuation of the fighting, more intel. Security of IDF forces will be maintained, but they also know, they know that Hamas is going to be using it because there's also a no-fly zone for 4 to 6 hours a day during this ceasefire. No drones can be over the area. They don't want any Israeli intelligence drones being there. And former four-star General Jack Keane again discusses the ceasefire.
They'll do everything they can to cheat on this, the so-called
no-fly zone that they want for 6 hours is the obvious. They want to be repositioning and do other things in terms of rearming, reorganizing, etc. During that time frame, the Israelis have comprehensive intelligence, and so do we, in terms of satellites and other things that we can put up at much higher altitude to give them some assistance in doing this.
So again, even though the drones won't be there, U.S. and Israeli spy satellite combined will still be gathering a lot of information, which is good. And I'll remind you again that these hostages, if they're 200 plus, they could release them all at one time. But they don't want to because they want to drag it out. That's why supposedly 50 in the first bunch. And you heard that Israel is going to release 150 prisoners they're holding, teenagers, women, for what crimes? I don't know. I don't know how valid the charges are. I'm not trying to take a side on that issue. But we are told that none of those being held are even charged, much less convicted, of murder. Maybe they did something with the bombing or something, or I don't know. I don't even want to begin to speculate, other than Israel insists that no one charged with murder inside Israel or convicted of murder will be among those being freed. But they're going to release 150 of them. And Hamas will release maybe 50 of the 200 plus they hold. And supposedly there was a word yesterday circulating that a group of ISIS jihadists might actually have them. They're very linked, all of these groups, be it ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, Taliban, they're all Muslim, but I don't want you to take the attitude that all Muslims are bad. They're not. May I repeat that again? The Muslims I know are not that way. They're not jihadists. They believe in the part of the Quran talking about goodwill and love to one another. There are parts of the Bible you can find that talk about slaying the enemy. And that includes women and children, even as instructed by God in the Old Testament. I have a hard time reconciling that, but the thought was then if you don't kill the women and children, then they're going to grow up to fight against you another day. That's the view of Hamas right now. So we haven't come that far from it, unfortunately, in that part of the world. But again, Jack King says, we will be sharing the intel we have with Israel and vice versa.
There's two countries in the world where we share intel the most with. It's the UK, and the second one is Israel. And obviously from day one of this conflict broken out, we've been giving them everything that's going to help them intel-wise. And I'm certain that we have increased our collection coverage to assist them. So, yes, that will be there to mitigate the loss of the coverage, certainly by drones, which is a valuable coverage, but also has its limitations.
So, again, we will still be able to get some intel we need, and the Israelis will. Now, I mentioned all the terrorist groups, and I'm reminding you that not every Muslim is a jihadist or a terrorist, but every jihadist terrorist is a Muslim. And don't forget, over them is Iran overseeing them, and above Iran is China. China is a major issue in so many ways going forward on several levels. Former CIA station chief Dan Hoffman said, as this nation, the U.S. of A., we continue to fail in dealing with China.
Well, I think we have to be forceful about taking on China, and I wish we would call this this challenge we face from China what it is. It's another Cold War. They're militarizing the South China Sea. They're developing nuclear weapons at the fastest rate that of any country, and posing a grave threat to the United States in the process. They're mounting full court press against our private sector to steal our intellectual property and espionage operations against us. The list goes on and on, not to mention TikTok, which NSA Director Nakasone called a loaded gun that we're aiming against ourselves when we use it. So I think this administration needs to take on China and take a page out of President Reagan's eloquent use of the bully pulpit to do so.
Yeah, that's what we should be doing, but not likely to happen. And we detailed in great amount yesterday about TikTok and how it's being used. And many folks are just using it, thinking it's just a harmless little thing. And I told you that TikTok videos that pop up on my phone. I do not have TikTok on my phone as an app, but it still gets into various feeds, news feeds, or whatever. So I don't know how much they're pulling off of my phone. I don't have anything to hide, but bottom line is, I don't want the Chinese in my phone. Do you? Now, Dan Hoffman, you were listening to there, as I said, is a former CIA station chief. So what is his view of what he thinks Hamas will be doing during this so-called truce?
They're going to get a short truce. It's going to set back Israeli military operations for a few days. It'll allow the Hamas terrorist fighters perhaps to rearm and to move to locations where Israel will have to find them again and fix their locations. And that's what Hamas wants. There's two wars being fought here. One is the kinetic war, which Israel is winning, but at a cost. In terms of civilian casualties. And then there's an information war, which Hamas, with Iran's assistance and diplomatic top cover, particularly from China, is winning.
Yeah, they are, because they've got a lot of American, especially young Americans, convinced Palestine deserves its own state. Israel gave the Palestinians Gaza, pulling out everything, pulling even Jewish settlers in the region out a decade or so ago to turn it over to Palestine, the PLO. And then it became Al-Fatah running it. And then Hamas came in and took over. And they've had not had an election since the last one, and again, 7+ dozen years ago. I'm getting some of my dates off here, but understand that at one time, Israel gave the entire strip to the PLO. Now Hamas controls it. PLO is also based in the West Bank, which is on the northern side of Israel, and they have also been firing through Hezbollah rockets into the northern part of Israel, and they're responding. And of course, the hate that exists in this world today, we're hearing from the leftists, the anti-Semitism coming up to the surface like it's always been boiling there. And you know the hate about Trump. Maybe some of you hate him as well. But I want to read something to you, give you an idea of someone else. A former U.S. senator said, Trump is more dangerous than Hitler and Mussolini. Is that an exaggeration, don't you think? Don't you really think that? Is he gassing Jews? You know who said that? Former U.S. Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill. Before this hour is over, 8 GOP congressmen did not vote on a resolution to impeach Mayorkas, one of them being California Congressman Daryl Issa. He says he has a good explanation. We're going to get into that, and then you decide, you accept the explanation or you think he's just BSing around trying to escape. I'm going to let you make your own decision. And also I'm going to tell you about an illegal captured 2 days ago in Martha's Vineyard. Wait till you hear about this guy. And also former New York Congressman John LeBoutier coming up to join us. I want his view on what Claire McCaskill said. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1, and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
Waking, bun man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water. That you won't let Jimmy start. Big boy, can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest is one of the most engaging interviews you often hear with us on Larry Connors USA. Some of you really like him and some of you not so much. And it's always an engaging interview when John Labutier, former New York congressman, joins us. John, welcome aboard again.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve to you, Larry, thank you, and everybody listening. And it's great.
I have a few things to say to you at Thanksgiving at the end of the program here first. But I told you we were going to have a shotgun of views. I tried to book John last week, and he said he was playing baseball. I thought, what? Well, he's on a team called the Florida Yankees. And, of course, John is from Long Island, playing in the Roy Hobbs tournament in Fort Myers. Our morning host, Mike Ferguson, was also playing down in Florida. You thought he would either have been same thing with you or maybe at West Palm. I haven't had a chance to ask Mike. And again, how did your team do?
We came in 7th out of 34 teams.
That's still good. What was your batting average?
Well, I'm a pitcher. I'm not hitting. So won one game where I was the starter and pitched well.
Well, congratulations.
And then I relieved badly 2 days later against the best team in the league.
You didn't have to add that. You're just being honest. Now, I got a lot of
subject.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Get over it. Get a drink of something good and get over it. Now, I want to get your response. I've got a lot of topics. Obviously, I want to talk about the so-called pause piece for exchange release prisoners. But before that, just before you joined us, I was reading a quote from former U.S. Senator from Missouri, Claire McCaskill, and she's basically calling Trump as bad as Hitler and Mussolini. I know you're a never-Trumper, but is that not over the line? Hitler was gassing Jews. We know what Mussolini did. You may not like Trump, but he's not anywhere near the caliber of those two.
No, he's not. But his rhetoric is bad anyway. Call people in America vermin.
Let's get that in the correct. He was talking about, I'm going to get rid of the vermin, the communist Marxists. That's what he was referring to.
Well, whatever. If they're Americans, they're not vermin. Okay, we can disagree. People have the right to be any political stripe they want. And they're not vermin. And that lowers the dialogue when a leading political figure calls fellow Americans, which is what he was talking about. Because he said, which is ridiculous, that the threat to this country isn't from outside the country. It's from within. Well, I got news for all of us. It's everywhere. The threat is
that's
both
a good point.
From outside and from inside.
Good point.
And we don't call, I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to call a fellow American a name like that. And I don't think it helps solve anything.
All right. That's a good answer. Now, by the way, Long Island is suddenly flipped. It's all red up there in your counties for the first time.
Not the first time. It was always Republican.
Okay.
Until about 20 years ago, and it started drifting.
Well, in my lifetime. I'm not that old, John. It's in my lifetime, 20 years. Go ahead.
No, in both our lifetime, this was the bastion of Republicanism here.
Yeah.
But now it's coming back a little bit to be Republican because the governor and New York City, too, is so crazy left-wing that the suburbs don't want any part of it. It's why people move out here is to get away from that.
So how much has illegal immigration been a factor?
I think it's a big issue. But now it's not out here as much. The illegal immigrants that have been bussed in are going into New York City and causing a big problem, including budgetarily. Yeah. The city can't afford them. And the people out here where I am are scared to death that that's the next step, that they'll come out
sure.
here.
Sure, why not? That's where the wealth is. I'm not giving out your address for that reason. All right, so let's talk about this release. They're going to supposedly release 50 women and children that have been held in hostage over a 4 or 5 day pause in fighting. Now, they hold about 200 plus that we know of. We know they're going 50 maybe today, maybe 10 or 12 tomorrow, and they're going to stretch out as long as they can because it gives Hamas time to regroup, reorganize, reconnect, and rebuild and so forth. What is your thought process just beginning with at least getting some people out?
Got to do it. Whatever you got to do to get these innocent hostages out, I think the world has to do it. And America is very much a partner of Israel in this thing and in the negotiation. So when I say we, it is we. And I think we have to get them out. And we're going to get 50 out over the next 4 or 5 days. Then there's a thing in this deal that it continues. If the ceasefire continues, which, of course, Hamas is the one asking for the ceasefire,
right.
Each day beyond that, they'll let another 10 go. So Israel's got to balance this issue, which is, do we wait another day and get 10 more and then another day and get 10 more? Meanwhile, Hamas is repositioning their troops, somehow getting resupplied from wherever they get their weapons. I don't know. And then they're stronger to resume the fighting in 5 or 10 days from now. And that's what Israel had to balance when they agreed to this deal.
Netanyahu is quoted as saying it was a difficult decision, but the right decision.
I think he's right. I think, let's put it this way, Larry. And all you listeners, imagine it's your mother,
sure.
your daughter, your granddaughter is one of the hostages. Wouldn't you want to wait? Because if we don't wait, if we resume or if we keep fighting in there, the odds are we're not getting these hostages out alive. They'll probably get killed in the fighting.
General Jack King had pointed out that that was the difference in this attack versus any other attack. Obviously, October 7th was a mass slaughter of the people in the villages, but then taking the hostages, knowing that they could buy time, just like they're doing, down the road and get a ceasefire when things get too hot, release a few. And one of them, the first of them, apparently is going to be a 3-year-old who will be free on what we will call Thanksgiving Day tomorrow. Will be going back to her home, and they'll have their own, quote, Thanksgiving. She'll be 4 tomorrow.
And both her parents were killed in the attack.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really bad. This thing, when we really look at it, was 9/11 and the Iranian hostage crisis put together.
Right.
I never seen anything like it. It's a terrible thing. And the ramifications from this will live all our lives. The Israel will never be the same, and their relationship with the Palestinians will never be the same, or with the Iranians. And it's going to have long standing ramifications, but maybe it could lead to something good too. Could lead to, they're going to wipe out Hamas. No doubt about it. They'll get rid of them all. And then maybe there will be a Palestinian state, which there needs to be. Palestinians have the right to their own homeland as long as they don't use it as a military base to kill Jews.
Well, Israel had pulled out of Gaza, given it to them. And of course, they do have the West Bank. But when they cry out from the sea to the ocean, Palestine will be free, they mean no Israel will exist.
No Israel. Well, that's right. And that's not going to happen, but they can try it. Good luck. But ultimately, most Palestinians are going to want to live in a peaceful life. And, you know, we talked about this the last time I was on.
Right.
One of the things that caused this attack was the leaking out of the talks between Israel and Saudi Arabia and the United States as the facilitator.
The Abraham
to
Accord.
Abraham was different countries. This is a new accord that was in the works for Israel and Saudi Arabia to have diplomatic relations, to recognize each other.
Right.
Which is motivated by Iran. They're all hating and fearing Iran, and especially if Iran gets a nuclear weapon. And the Arabs figured, hey, we better be in bed with Israel, all united against Iran. Well, when Iran heard about this deal coming, what do they do? They send their agents of Hamas in to do this terrible attack on Israel, knowing that Israel would, of course, retaliate, wipe out the Palestinians in Gaza, and that would throw a monkey wrench into that peace deal, which, for the time being, it has. But not for long. They will make that deal. But I think, Larry, one of the things Saudi Arabia and the other oil states need to pony up billions of dollars to finance this new independent Palestinian state, rebuild Gaza, the West Bank, the whole thing. They've got to make this state for these people to live in. It's the only way to go.
But, and I agree, Israel should not control it, but they're going to need security in there. They've said that we're going to have to have security. Yep. We can't let you run it like you did before. But now,
absolutely,
I don't want to cut it way short. But one quick thing is that one of the Hamas that had been captured and being interrogated made it clear. Said, "Yeah, we were told to be as vicious and vile and nasty as possible and get it on video that it might incite Arabs around the world to join us everywhere."
There you go. That, and that's all orchestrated in Tehran. That's who wanted this to happen. And that's who pays for it, by the way. They pay for Hamas, and they pay for Hezbollah, and they pay for the Houthi rebels in Yemen. They're the single most malicious force in the Middle East is the Iranian Revolutionary Government.
And, of course, they're getting money from China. Now, to wrap up, I want to wish you and all of yours a most blessed Thanksgiving. And I'm like you, praying for those hostages still being held and thankful for the ones being released tomorrow.
Yep, me too, Larry. It's a good Thanksgiving if they get out. But we got to get them all out, you know, and not just the Americans and the Israelis, but they're from other countries too.
Yep. John Labutier, as always, I enjoy it. Always great guest. Glad to have you on board.
Me too.
Hey, John.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And John, forget about that loss you had. Oh, I didn't mean to bring it up.
I don't know that I can. I don't know.
Thank you, John. Here's a toast.
Thank you, Larry.
Here's a toast to you. Coming up, Congressman Daryl Issa was one of those who did not vote on the resolution to impeach Mayorkas. He says he has a good reason. Listen and see if you agree.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com. litstl.com.
She'll be the death of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary when what deep in love, yes I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
8 House Republicans voted to block an effort to impeach Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Joining me right now is one of those 8 lawmakers who stopped it, California Congressman Daryl Issa. Congressman, thanks very much for being here this morning.
Thanks, Maria, but if not meaning to correct you, but we voted to send it to the committee, the committees of jurisdiction for this. I serve on one of them, but it's Homeland Security with Chairman Green and Judiciary with Chairman Jordan. And those, if everyone who voted yes on this wants to vote it back out when with modifications to make it germane, I'm looking forward to it. I've said I'm willing to vote for impeachment, but I want to make sure that it's written properly and comes out prepared to not just pass the House, but to pass the House in a way in which we've at least got a shot to take it to the Senate and convince them to remove the secretary.
So that is a response from California Congressman Daryl Issa. And the other day when he was listed with the other Republicans as not voting to impeach Mayorkas, I was incensed. And Maria asked him how and why, and you heard his explanation. He wanted a cleaner, better written bill. Do you accept that, or was he not sure what I'm just asking you. But he also said at the end, he said, we get another bill and it's better done, I'll go along with it. So maybe he was testing the wind or wasn't so sure. How can you not be sure what to do with Mayorkas? Now, before I continue down that road, I have not had time to get into today, and I've been kind of watching facts develop. There was an explosion, if you haven't heard it. It happened earlier today. There was an explosion at the U.S.-Canada border. They're calling it a terrorist attack. what was going on. It's the Rainbow Bridge border crossing. It's not name, reference, transsexual, or anything like that. This is a border crossing between the U.S. and Canada, and apparently explosives were in the vehicle as it was approaching the Border Patrol station. It is leaving the U.S. and going into Canada, and then they attempted to drive toward the border office building where we would have members of border security in position. But it blew up short of the building. Well, of course, they closed all the bridges in the area, and all the government buildings were shut down. All international border crossing points between Canada and Western New York got closed after that incident. I should have raised that question as well with John, but we had enough to cover. But they did have a 27-year-old male who went to Niagara Falls Memorial with minor injuries, but the two inside the car died because they had explosions inside the car, according to the FBI, and the FBI is calling it a clear terrorist threat. And a clear terrorist attempt. They either detonated it too early or something went wrong. Whatever happened, they're the ones who paid the price, and thank God no one else did. So that happened earlier today. This is, again, another example of problems with our border. Of all these we have let in across our southern border, wide open. And that was why Marjorie Taylor Greene introduced the resolution dealing with the 2006 Fences Act. I don't think you needed to go to that. I think you simply go to the fact you took an oath of office to swear to protect our nation from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and you helped open our border and let everybody through. They will tell you they're vetting people. They're not vetting people. I told you yesterday there are no air marshals and have not been any air marshals on flights over recent months. They were all dispatched not to guard people on planes and hijackings, but being sent to the border, and they basically were helping hand out water. And the Air Marshals Union president said, if you're on a plane during this holiday season, be aware of those around you. Make sure you know where the exits are. If you see someone acting strangely, report it, and hopefully have some big guy next to you that will help control the situation, because there will be no border agents. I mean, air marshals on board. I know two of them that were on that service. Haven't had a chance to talk to them directly. They were allowed to carry pistols on board. Pilots have also been allowed to carry pistols if they choose to do so. But, of course, when you're in an aluminum can at 40,000 feet, you puncture that fuselage, you could have a bigger disaster on your hands. So you have to be very careful what bullets are used, how they're used, and what case. But now this thing at the issue dealing with the Canada-U.S. border. That could be the precursor of more to happen on Thanksgiving Day. I hate to say it, but be aware. Now, on Thanksgiving Day, I'll tell you now, we're going to be doing a best of program. We're taking Thursday and Friday off, so we'll have to catch up on everything for you Monday. But I strongly encourage you to kind of enjoy your family, don't live in fear, but be aware of what's happening. Now, what's happening as far as the illegals that are here, well, we'll come to that in a moment. But once again, Maria wanted to question Daryl Issa about impeaching Mayorkas.
Was it truly just a technicality that caused you to vote the way that you did? Is that what you're saying?
I will actually, anytime there's a privilege resolution, not from the leadership, that comes to the floor bypassing the procedures that it caused us to do good work, I'm going to tend to scrutinize it and probably vote against it. I voted for against a similar sanction against Rashida Tlaib, and I did so because it was written, if you will, poorly. A day later, after quite a bit of work, we had an alternate one that came forward that we all voted for and got 22 Democrats to vote for sanctioning her for her unreasonable comments. That's the kind of thing we want to do. We want to make these resolutions, if they're going to occur, tight, accurate, and sustainable. You know, when I held Eric Holder in contempt, I got double-digit Democrats who voted with me to hold him in contempt. It took a lot of work, but that's the right way to do it.
All right, so if you're going to accept that, Daryl Issa makes it clear that that's the only reason I did not vote for Marjorie Taylor Greene's initial impeach resolution against Mayorkas. So I would expect that the next time it comes up, he will go along with it. We'll see. And the same thing with the other Republicans. I don't know how they're explaining it, but he quickly took issue with Maria saying, I don't mean to correct you, but the reason I did was not that I voted to block it, but I could not vote to accept it in its present form. And then when she asked, well, is it just a technical issue? He said, no, it goes deeper than that. I don't know how much of that is BS and how much is fact. The test will be the next vote, the next time it's introduced. Now, let me bring you up to speed on the illegals already in the country. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says, and he says, Biden's illegal immigration inflow, although he doesn't refer to it as illegal, he just says immigration inflow, is, quote, you're going to love this, you're going to love it. Are you already tipping a little bit early for Thanksgiving? We'll tip another one here. The Biden immigration inflow is, quote, unfair to taxpayers amid more budget cuts. No surprise there. We know that. They're just suddenly realizing it. Do you remember years ago when California declared itself a sanctuary city and others jumped, I mean, not a sanctuary state, and various California cities did, not all of them did. And Trump was saying, we are stripped them of any federal dollars. Remember that? And other cities jumped in and said, no, we're going to be sanctuary city too. So now all of them are being delivered to New York City, Chicago, Boston, and so forth. And suddenly they don't want to be an illegal sanctuary city. They don't even want to call them illegal. They want to call them immigrants. Oh, but here's something they're getting for Thanksgiving. Migrants, as they want to refer to them, migrants, they always love leaving out illegal. There are a lot of New Yorkers that are living on a very low income. If they have a Thanksgiving turkey or any part of it, they're probably going to a general place where they're offering meals for the poor. But you know what's happening with the migrants? Migrants are getting free holiday turkeys ahead of low-income residents. Low-income New Yorkers living in public housing say these newly arrived migrants are first in line for free turkeys. Happy Thanksgiving. Now, let me tell you about another illegal. You recall what happened when DeSantis sent a busload of them to Martha's Vineyard. Do you remember how fast? Only 40 of them or less. And how fast they went into, oh, my God, they're here. We got to do something. And they were gone within less than 40 hours, if even that long. I thought that would have been a welcoming place. Obama could have come down from his mansion and welcomed them, given them a sandwich or something. They weren't, so we can't handle them. We can't handle them. They handle thousands of tourists every year at Martha's Vineyard, and they couldn't handle this busload of illegals. Well, now, as of November the 14th, ICE did arrest an illegal in Martha's Vineyard, wanted by authorities in Brazil as a Brazilian sex offender, received multiple criminal convictions in Brazil for raping a five-year-old, sentenced to 14 years in prison. This is one of the illegals that came across. Vetted? Yeah, right, vetted. Here's your pass. Go where you want. I think I want to go to Martha's Vineyard. Well, they caught up with him, and now he's been arrested and detained because it's Martha's Vineyard. If it had been St. Louis, Missouri, Jefferson County, if it had been Iowa, I don't know if they'd acted that fast, but he'd been convicted for raping a five-year-old, 14 years in prison, gets out, becomes an illegal, comes across our border. I'd mentioned in the last hour that this date will stand out forever in U.S. history, and I began to tell you the story about the Secret Service agent who is now speaking out. Let's do that again. I've got time to give you more details on it now than I did earlier, so I want to share the story. This is a PBS interview. It involves Agent Clint Hill. When John F. Kennedy was shot on this date, 1963, 60 years ago, one image that was clear is a Secret Service agent jumping onto the back of the presidential limousine and the First Lady reaching back to grab his hand. If you look at the presidential limousine at that time, it was open-aired, as you well know. President Kennedy and the First Lady were sitting in the back seat in front of them, Governor Connally and his wife, and then another agent up front and another agent driving. But on the back of the car, hooked to the bumpers, were handles to grab onto if you need to jump up and a little step on the bumper. That's what he was doing to get on board. And he says in this interview with PBS, he said, "Before Dallas, I was known as just Clint Hill." And then that 6 second period in Dallas is not an easy thing to live with. He was originally assigned to First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy in 1960. He said, often Eisenhower, just referred to as his agent, say, "Hey, agent." He said, "Well, the Kennedys, they knew your first name, knew if you were married, knew if you had children. John Kennedy would stop and talk to you, so he had the most respect for us." He said, "The day of the assassination, by the time we got to Main Street, the crowd was so large, couldn't be contained on the sidewalks, people hanging out of windows on top of buildings, any place they could see them." He was on the running board on the follow-up car, right behind the presidential limousine. As he went through Dealey Plaza, Clint Hill says, "I heard a noise over my right shoulder." He said, "I did not think at first it was a gunshot. I thought it was a firecracker or something. But then I saw the president's reaction. I knew that's not normal." Hill immediately ran from the follow-up car, jumping onto the back of the presidential limousine. Said as he climbed aboard, there was another shot. He says another shot striking the president in the head. And, of course, after that shot, the First Lady climbed onto the trunk to meet him. She got her back into the car and used his body to shield the two of them as they sped to the hospital. And he said, "I remember looking at President Kennedy and I thought, this wound is not survivable. I did not think he had a chance." He wrote a book titled 5 Days in November. And he remembers accompanying Jacqueline Kennedy, he was originally assigned to, still wearing her blood-stained suit on Air Force One while LBJ was sworn in. He said, "As I look at her face streaked with tears, her eyes so hollow, lifeless, a wave of guilt and shame washed over me. How did I let this happen?" Now, I told you yesterday there's a new documentary out that claims the magic bullet issue was back in play again. The conspiracy theories still exist. And he did say he finished his stint with Jacqueline Kennedy in 64, went on to serve 3 more presidents, but always struggled with guilt. He said, "We got no counseling at all. There was no PTSD in those days." 1975, he developed ongoing health issues related to his emotional state. Failed his annual physical, and Secret Service said they would have to retire him. He was just 43 years old. Said, "I lived on 2 packs of cigarette a day and a bottle of scotch." Clint Hill, this date, 1963. I wish you a blessed Thanksgiving. We're off tomorrow. Best of. Thank you.